Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're glad you're here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out our blog. While you're there, you can come and get it, or we'll send it to you. Either way, and don't forget all the other things that are on our website, and all of it's there for you. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. Robert Herbold is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He says we can call him Bob. Bob has spent a couple of decades with Procter & Gamble, a great company out of Cincinnati, who used to be one of my customers years ago. And he spent a number of years in the late 90s, early 80s as the chief operating officer of Microsoft. Pretty good gig there. He is he's now the president, I should say the managing director of the Herbold Group, LLC. He spends about half of his time in Singapore. In fact, that's where he is right now. He's calling us from Singapore, and he's coming into us, folks. If you're interested in this, I certainly am. He's calling us over voice over IP using Skype from Singapore. See what you think about this quality and this connection. Bob, welcome to the show.
Well, good, Jim. I'm glad to be here. It's a treat to be on the show.
I appreciate that, Bob. It's good to have you here, especially calling us from Singapore. And isn't 21st century technology exciting?
Well, it's amazing, and it's great to be able to connect like this. I attend board meetings by phone from here in Singapore back to the U.S. on a regular basis. Talk to the kids. So it's a terrific tool.
Well, it certainly is. Now, tell us why you're in Singapore.
Well, I'm over here doing some consulting with some companies up in India. I also am on the board of a company up in Hong Kong, and I do some teaching at INSEAD, which is a global business school that's headquartered in France, and they have their Asian campus here. I teach in the executive education area.
All right. Well, I'm sure this is an exciting time for you. You know, Bob, in your career, you've seen a lot of companies. You work for some pretty cool companies. P&G is a great company, as I said. I used to call them back in the 80s and do some business with them. And then, of course, Microsoft, it needs no explanation. You've had some pretty good gigs. And in those times, you've seen those companies make mistakes and maybe get into some trouble and get themselves out of trouble. You've seen your peers, guys that were doing what you were doing in other industries and other companies, get into a lot of trouble. And you've observed what caused them to do that, and that's basically the basis for your book, isn't it?
That's right. The title of the book is Seduced by Success, and the thing that it's based on is about 40 years of experience of watching companies. And the thing that is so interesting, Jim, is when individuals or companies or any kind of organization enjoys some kind of success, you see some strange behaviors. They tend to lose their sense of urgency. They tend to get very proud and protective of what they're doing. And they get an entitlement mentality. They assume that they're always going to be on top. And that can get you into trouble very quickly. Those three attributes they create real problems.
Well, I agree with you. And one of the things I like to talk about on the show, and when I used to, I'm not sure if it still does kind of shock people, but it may have in the beginning, because I've been doing this for a long time. And that is, I like to talk about the concept of failure and the impact of failure, not just success on our lives and on our professions, but the impact of failure and how really essential failure, not total meltdown, thermonuclear meltdown failure, but failures, how those things can actually help us put perspective success into more perspective. But one of the things you talk about in your book is when you talk about the pride and the arrogance and everything. Sometimes when we're successful, we think it's because we're so smart, don't we?
That's exactly right. We think we have it figured out. We think we're smarter than the rest, that we've finally gotten the Holy Grail in terms of what's going to enable us to stay on top forever. But life doesn't work that way. Competition is always out there figuring new ways to configure their products to make them improved, better ways to brand their products and make it successful from a marketing standpoint. And you constantly have to be thinking, okay, what next on all fronts?
Well, you know, Bob, I don't know how old you are. I suspect that you're probably about my age. And when you and I were coming into the marketplace as young pups, that was really what I consider to be the end of an era, when you actually could find something that you could be successful with and ride that horse into the sunset, because things weren't changing all that fast. Today, change is not different, but the velocity of change is. You can't do that anymore, can you?
No, it is so true. That is very, very true. And if you just think about the discussion you and I are having from, 8,000-9,000 miles away, that we're trading information, we're trading tips and the like, that was not the case 30, 40 years ago. So,
I bet when you were working with Procter & Gamble, say back in the 70s, you guys could design a strategy or some kind of a policy or develop a product or whatever. You could expect to use that product or that strategy for at least 12 months, maybe 4 or 5 years. Now it might last 90 days.
That's so true. And the world is moving very fast. The technologies are moving along, no matter what industry you're in. The important thing is to keep your eyes open and to be curious and to constantly be asking the question, how can I learn from these things that are going on around me? What are people doing in other industries? What's my competition doing? How am I going to get ahead? And if you keep that mentality, even though you're on top, you'll survive. And that's the kind of thing that Toyota does. On the other hand, if you're constantly saying, hey, I'm really proud of what I'm doing, isn't this fantastic, patting yourself on the back,
I'm so smart.
Get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, I'm so smart, and boy, aren't I great? Well, one thing I tell small business owners to do that I think cuts across a lot of these things that you're talking about, and that's, it's okay to fall in love with what you do. You just can't fall in love with how you do it. What do you think about that?
That's a very good line, Jim.
Well, hold on to that thought. I'm going to get you a comment on that again. We've got to take a quick break. You know how this works. We have to sell some things. We're going to take a quick one, folks. We'll be right back with Robert Herbold. The book is called Seduced by Success. It's an outstanding book. There's a lot of stuff in here for you and me, small business owners. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Show and three to get ready now. Go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue train.
We're back. That's Carl Perkins, ladies and gentlemen, not Elvis. That's Carl. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our new friend, soon-to-be old friend, Robert Herbold. He says we can call him Bob. He's the author of Seduced by Success, former CEO of Microsoft, former executive with Procter & Gamble. Has had a great career and is still having a great one. And he's now in Singapore. He's joining us over Voice over IP over Skype. And it's a great connection, and it's good to have him here. Bob, tell us where your book's available, please.
It's available online right now. They just finished printing it about 3 weeks ago, and it's available online at all the popular services, and it's working its way to the bookstores. Probably half the bookstores have it right now. Another half will have it in a couple of weeks.
Well, thank you for allowing us to launch your book on our show. We've launched a lot of books over the last 10 years, and many of them have gone on to be great successes. And of course, we accept all the credit for that, Bob. But it's a good one, folks. I recommend it to you, Bob. I want to come back to this thing about success and failure. How do you feel about failure? What is your attitude toward failure?
Well, the thing that I talk about at the end of this book is the title of the last chapter, the last section, is a key to continual success is a questioning attitude and overcoming those kind of problems. And I talk about Apple and I talk about Steve Jobs in particular. Now, here's a guy that has been up and down many times. If you think about it, he launched that company, very successful. He got in love with the Macintosh, and in fact, he got a little too proud of the Macintosh, and you couldn't put a sound card in it, you couldn't write software for it, he was very possessive of it. Finally, eventually, the board of directors had to relieve him of his duties and subsequently let him go.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about failure. He went to form another company called Next. He's working away at it, not doing too well. Apple gets interested in a new operating system that they can buy on the marketplace. They see one with Next. They buy it. They get Steve Jobs back. And it's a package deal. Jobs then gets interested in consumer products, customer-oriented music devices, launches the iPod, and the rest is history, as they say. So you can expect to be up and down in these kind of markets where innovation is very high. The important thing is just keep learning and doing and learning and doing.
One of my favorite stories, the Small Business Person of the Year for 2006 worked for a guy who was in the foundry business. I'm sorry, the machine tool and die business. I think that's what it was. And it was a metalworking company of some kind. He worked for this guy. He and some other guys worked for this guy. It was a 20th century business model, and the guy, of course, as you may know, Bob, that industry doesn't do very well in the United States anymore. Most of that work has gone overseas.
But right.
So the guy who owned that company was about to close it up because he couldn't make it viable in the 21st century. This was back about 6 years ago. The two or three of the employees said, you know what, we think we can do something with this. They bought the company from him. It was basically, they bought it almost for the parts that was left. And in 6 years, he became the Small Business Person of the Year. They took a 20th century business and turned it and gave it a 21st century model. And now they're being successful. So, you know, you've got, it's not what you do, it's how you do it, isn't it?
Boy, that's so true. That ingenuity and drive and keeping your eyes open and being open to new ideas is absolutely key.
One of the things that you talk about is neglect and lethargy in businesses. How does that come over a business?
Well, you know, I talk about neglect in the context of sticking with your old business model. What happens, especially with small businesses, they launch their operation, it's fairly successful, they're moving along, and quickly they believe, hey, I've got it figured out. And you could be a big business or you could be a small business, but mm-hmm. when you get that feeling, you're in serious trouble. What you have to constantly be doing is revisiting it, saying, okay, you know, how do I make this significantly, you know, better?
And lethargy is when you talk about being lulled into being comfortable
Yeah, it's a culture issue. And what happens oftentimes with companies is they get so comfortable once they're on top. They really believe that they can now sit back a bit, that they've got it figured out. They can be a bit casual about this thing, start fiddling with other projects, taking on too many tasks, losing focus, and pretty soon the business is sick, and they're not even paying attention to it. And it happens over and over again.
There's one thing that I think has to be balanced with all this, Bob, and that is that sometimes small business owners want to reach for the next rung on the ladder so badly that they can't appreciate the success that they've already accomplished. And this doesn't really fly in the face of your message here today. It's just that I do think it's important for small business owners to be in the moment enough to appreciate the success that they've accomplished. What do you think?
That's very true. I mean, it's very competitive out there, and to launch a successful operation and have it going in a way that you're satisfied is extremely gratifying. And what you have to do is balance that kind of gratification and patting the employees on the back with a great message about constant improvement.
Well said, Bob. Bob, will you come back another day? We got a lot more to talk about.
I'd be glad to, Jim. This has been a real treat.
Thank you. Robert Herbo, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Seduced by Success. Say hello to our friends over in Singapore over there, and we'll see you next time.
Take care.
See you later. Quick break, right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.